Shabbat Shalom. Good morning, everyone. Still good morning. Not yet 12 o'clock. Amen. And Psalm says, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." So every Shabbat, it's nice to be in the house of our living God. Amen? Because this is the time that we could fellowship one another, encourage one another, comfort one another, and praying one another. Truly that without prayer, our Christian life or our life as a believers is not be successful. Amen? So our message this morning, or my message this morning, is about the life of Sarah. The life of Sarah. Although the title of this week, Parasha, Kaye Sarah, meaning life of Sarah, it is interesting that she initially introduced by focusing on her death, right? When you read Genesis 23, she's talking about her death. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and wept over her. And don't you know that Sarah is only the woman in the Bible have a parasha name after her? Did you notice that? Only her have a parasha. In all the other biblical characters, thus the parashas are named after men: Balak, Pinchas, Korach, Noach, Jethro, and then Sarai. Sarah. So this underscores how important this matriarch Sarah is to our faith. Sarah dies in Kiriath Arba, and her funeral is the first to be recorded in the Torah. And Sarah is buried in the tomb of Patriarch, the second holiest place in Judaism after the Mount, Temple Mount. And this burial place in which the fathers and mothers of the Jewish faith are buried is located in Hebron. In this parasha, Abraham purchased, we know that this land purchased by Abraham. And through this, Sarah demonstrated this radical obedience to her husband. First, by leaving everything behind, including her home, family, just to follow Abraham. She did not know where they were going and had to live inside the tent or desert like a stranger. In order to protect her husband, twice he lied just to protect Abraham. And God rewarded his obedience and did rescue her from Pharaoh, King Abimelech's harem. And clearly, it was God who did not allow the king of Gerar to touch Sarah. And God said to him in dreams, "Yes, I know that you did this integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." So I choose this message about the life of Sarah because I know it's really important to know who is really Sarah is and what are the important that we learn from him or from her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for guiding us far and granting us your grace. I ask your anointing and power so that I can preach your word boldly with authority. Fill us with your Ruach HaKodesh and let your Ruach take full control of us and let your Ruach speak to us. Heavenly Father, apart from you, I cannot do anything. We want to praise you. I want to glorify your name. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Life of Sarah. One of the hardest things to handle is the time in our lives where God seems like He's so far away. He's not answering to our prayers. We know that God's promise in His Word that He always answers us. But it seems is He giving us a silent treatment. We can recall in Job 23, verse 8 to 9, it says, I go east, but He is not there. I go west, but I cannot find Him. I do not see Him in the north, for He is hidden. I turn to the south, but I cannot find Him. Maybe right now, we have a situation in our lives, and we are wondering, where is God? Where is God? Maybe it's disease you are dealing with, or decision we need to make, but there is no clear picture. So what shall we do? We ask ourselves, where is God? Where is God? Is He noticing all of my hardship and frustration? It just seems that God is not just helping us with us. What shall we do? Sarah was a woman in the Bible who became frustrated with God's silence. She desperately wanted to have a child, but it wasn't happening. When you open our Bible in the book of Genesis, we can find out. Genesis chapter 16, we can find out the story about Sarah. Sarah was a beautiful woman inside and outside. Her face was transparent canvas from which emanated her inner regions. Her beauty was retained even at her old age. Her beauty was that of a body and soul operating with natural respect and a harmony. And according to Genesis 16:1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Sarai or Sarah was barren. She could not give birth to a child, which in those days was considered a curse. Sarah was about 75 years old, and so the chances of her having a baby were pretty slim. At 75 years of age, there was a little optimism in Sarah. In Sarah's mind that she was going to have a child, and I think even more frustrating thing for Sarah was that after 10 years, before this God had come to her husband, Abraham told her, promised him that her wife can have a baby. So according to Genesis 15:5, God had promised Abraham that they would have son. It reads, He took him outside and said, Look up now at the sky and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then He said to him, You shall your seed be. But the problem was that God had made promise this 10 years earlier, and Sarah was yet to conceive child. And she was growing older, and it was looking like it was impossible for her to still have a baby. And one of the toughest things to do in life is to wait God. Am I right? One is the toughest things to do in life is to wait God. Sarah had two. Someone said that God is never in a hurry, but yet He is never late. Dealing with God's timing takes certain knowledge of who God is. In God's view of time, is quite different from us. The Bible says that our God, 1,000 years, is alike a day, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, or 2 Peter. In other words, for an eternal God, 1,000 years is really not too long at that time. I have a story about a 4-year-old boy. He was there traveling with his mother. And while they are on the road, he's always asking the same question over and over again. Mom, when are we going to get there? Maybe the mom doesn't. Oh, he ignored it. And I said, Mom, when are we going to get there? Finally, the mother got so irritated. She said, we still have a few more kilometers to go, so don't ask me again when we're going to go there. Well, the boy was silent for a long time. Then the timidly asked, Mom, will it still be 4 when we get there? To a small child, a 3-hour car ride seems like an eternity, right? But for an adult, a 3-hour car ride is not long because an adult has experienced it before. So to God, a few years on earth seems like a few seconds. And the child constantly nagging from the back, God, when is this going to happen? When? Well, all of us for sure. We all want good things to happen in our lives, but to open, we don't want to be wait. We want now. We want now, not later, now. Well, because of Sarah's impatience with God's silence, she convinced her husband, Abraham, to go along with crazy and downright sinful plan. What is that plan? In Genesis 16, verse 2, it says here, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had not bore him children, but she had an Egyptian slave girl. Her name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, look, now, Adonai has prevented me from having children. Go, please, to my slave girls. Perhaps I'll get a son by her. What did Abraham do? Abraham listened to Sarah's voice. And let's see what happened. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarah took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Because Sarah cannot wait anymore, she made a solution by herself without knowing God. Sarah could not wait on God, so she took things into her own hands. Sarah gives her husband permission to sleep with her maidservant, into which Abraham agrees and Hagar, the servant, becomes pregnant. And you know, desperation often makes us do radical things. Did you notice that? Desperation often makes us radical things. But by the way, however, custom in those days allowed women to do exactly what Sarah did. A barren wife offered her servant as a substitute, and as a result, any child born of union become legal here. So Sarah did what most of us would do. She took action when God appeared silent. Oh, it's been years that God didn't answer my prayer. She said that he will give me a child, but it doesn't happen. More than 10 years that I've been waiting. Well, I make some solution for this. Maybe Sarah. So, because the Bible says, God helped those who help themselves. That's not the Bible says. It doesn't. Instead, the Bible says, wait patiently to the Lord. And Sarah was tired of God's silence. He keeps me from having children, she said. So I'm going to do something about it. And she could no longer stand the stigma of being barren, and so devises a plan to make the disgrace disappear. And Sarah decides to forego God's ways and make her own ways. But she soon finds out the folly of her way. Little does she know that her efforts will only fuel bitter relationship and heartache. Sarah begins to resent her maidservant and her husband, according to Genesis 16:5. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me." It looks like here Sarah is kind of manipulator, right? It looks like she wants Abraham to hold on her neck. But Abraham is referred to the Bible that she is a man of great faith, right? But he must have been a few cheeseburger on his life. Having a good meal on his life. But I tell you, men, let me give you some advice. If your wife comes to you like a Sarah, don't listen to them. Okay? Don't listen to them. It's okay to sleep with another woman. Don't believe her. Right? And ladies, do you understand why Sarah was upset? And us men, do you know why Sarah is so upset? I think it's because she wanted Abraham to say, "No, honey, if you and I can have a child together, we just won't have one." Right? So Abraham failed to take charge and let Sarah carry out his miserable and foolish plan. Abraham ends up telling Sarah to do whatever she wants with Hagar. And in this verse, demonstrated Hagar, so she fled from her. Isn't it that open how it's happened? We blow it another for frustration. Hagar refused to put up with Sarah's mistreatment and fled to the desert. She would eventually return and give birth to a son named Ishmael. And Ishmael was the father of Arab race. And the Jews and Arabs still fighting today. Because that Sarah's plan ended in disaster, the world is still reaping the consequences of her decision as we speak. But God was silent. That's why Sarah took an action and it all fell apart. There are a few things we can learn from Sarah about what to do when God is silent. What will we do if God is silent to our prayer? When God is silent, expect it to be difficult. Those 10 years that Sarah had to wait on child probably seemed like an eternity to her. It was so hard to her to wait on God, right? She knows he had said he would give birth, but it wasn't driving her nuts to wait. So it's difficult to wait on God. Brother and sister, I don't want to mislead you. Dealing with God can be sometimes painful. Following God, it's not always easy, but it's always worth. Choosing to be faithful to God isn't always the smooth road. Sometimes maybe we may be bullied, persecuted, but there's joy. God never promised us that once we place our faith in Yeshua, that life would be all sunshines and rainbows. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. This principle assures us that present difficulties or trials is worth enduring. The reward is greater than what one might gain from quitting. We will reign with Him. And don't you know? Do you know why God is sometimes silent when we go through difficulties? Do you know why God's silent when Sarah asked Him, Lord, where is my child? You remember the story of Mary, Martha, Lazarus, when Lazarus died in John 11? Martha and Mary found themselves in the exact situation when their brother Lazarus was dying. We find this story in John chapter 11, and Mary said that she sent somebody to Lazarus because during that time, Yeshua was in the other town, right? So it says here, the two sisters sent word to Yeshua, who was in another town at that time. They had witnessed Yeshua in how he healed, the sick, and gave sight to the blind, and restored those disabled. Probably he would rush to be at Lazarus' side. However, we learn in John 11 that Yeshua stayed where he was for two more days. So when the person that who gave the letter to Yeshua that Lazarus died, Yeshua didn't go right away. He spent two more days, right? He spent two more days to Judea. And has there even a time when you ask the Lord where He was when you needed Him the most? Or why He didn't help you when you were crying out to Him? One answer to this question is God wants us to be patient. We don't like to wait on anybody or anything for any reason. We always in a hurry. We want everything fast. We want everything instant. So often we don't want to wait God for His solution to our problem. Over and over again, the Bible instructs us to wait on the Lord, but we are impatient and then become irritated, hurt, or offended when God doesn't act according to our timetable. And the reason why we are impatient and question where is God, because we are struggling, is because we fail to see the big picture while God is not answering right away our prayer. Do you know why God is silent? God is silent sometimes because He wants to develop our growth. He wants us to develop our growth. He's trying to teach us something. He wants us to grow and stretch us. I have a story about a boy who was born severely handicapped. His mother had done everything for him. He feed him, he changed his clothes, everything. He did this to him. And one day, the mother decided not to help him anymore. And she said that she laid out his clothes on his bedroom floor, and she told him that he needed to get dressed on his own. And the boy screamed, pouted, cried, and shouted, Mom, where are you? Come and help me. I cannot do this by myself. But the mom never answered. And then suddenly this boy, he's trying, he start dressing himself, and it takes 2 hours before he dressed himself. And then suddenly he said, don't you know, Mom, I feel you don't love me anymore. But the mom said, I just only want to train you, my son, that you need to learn to grow by yourself. Because if I always come and help you, you never grow. That's why, brothers and sisters, there is a purpose why God sometimes silences our prayer. You want us. He wants us to grow. Not only that, why God silences, He wants us to use our faith and our trust to Him. And He wants us to experience really how His grace is so patient for us. It could be that during your trial, when you think God is silent, He is actually dispensing His grace to you. He is giving you grace to get through it. He is hoping that when you have victory over your situation, at last, you look back and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because of you who sustained me. Because of you, I have the victory through you." Amen? Not only that, my brothers and sisters. You remember the story of Elijah when they just go for a war, and then, some of the servants that she bring with him said that, "Oh, Elijah, we cannot win this battle. There are lots of people here. There's a lot of soldiers there, so there's no way that we win this victory." But you know what Elijah said? He prayed that, "Lord, open their eyes that they may see you." What I mean is that, Lord, let their trust put in you alone, not how many soldiers or how many enemies that are waiting for them, but they will realize that there is true God that we can help them. That's why in verse 17 he says, or verse 16 in 2 Kings chapter 6, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered, "those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that they may see. Then the Lord opened their servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills for the horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Look at today's news. There are physical and spiritual attacks, and the devil perpetrated on the earth. It is evident this verse is a time and place in history that this is a message for today. Our eyes need to be open. The eyes that he's speaking of are spiritual eyes, eyes of faith, which indeed are true sight. We can easily be swept away with fear and panic as we view life with our physical eyes. It wasn't that servant's physical eyes that needed to be opened. He was already looking at the problem with his physical eyes, but God wanted him to see the solution. His spiritual eyes would open him up to what God had already prepared. He sent angels to surround Elijah. He brought resolution before the servant could see it. That's why there's a purpose why God sometimes silent. First, He wants to develop our patience. He wants us to have more patience. He wants us to use our trust, faith on Him. Then, for God's glory. Sometimes He delayed the blessing. Sometimes He's not answering our prayer right away, because He wants to display His glory. God is getting ready to display His glory in a mighty way. When Yeshua heard that Lazarus was sick, he said to His disciple, "This sickness will not end in death, No, it is that God's Son may be glorified through it. So when he finally arrived in Judea, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And then Martha said, you know, when you come during that time that I send those disciples to come and help my brother, maybe he's not died. But Yeshua said, I want to glorify my Father. It's because he is testing our faith. God often uses trials and difficulties to mature our faith. We spend a lot of time in our lives waiting because change is a process. Many people want change, but they don't want to go through the waiting process. They want to change right now. But no. That's why in Acts said, from glory to glory, God changing me. If we have some weaknesses at this time, we must be thankful because God not yet finished in our lives. Because as we see that weaknesses, we can see the big picture that God is bigger than this weakness that we have. As we develop patience, the Bible says we finally feel completely satisfied, lack nothing. Even our relationship with God involves progressive changes. My relationship with God is so much different now than it was in the early days of my Christian lives. The more difficulties, the more experience that I receive from God, the more I become know Him, because I know that God is always on my side. Job 30 verse 20 says, I cry to you for help and you do not answer me. I stand and you only look at me. In reality, God wasn't absent or silent or indifferent all toward Job or King David. It's always there. Sometimes we think that he's not answering our prayers. He's answering. But it's in silent ways. Sometimes God stands by in a silence and does nothing because it actually helps us to mature according to James 1:2. Count it such joy when you experience trial, because those trials come to say that you may develop patience with God. If you are in the midst of trial, allow God or allow yourself to ask God for help, and He gives freely help to those who ask. God's silence may have been a test of to see Sarah and Abraham were going to be faithful and trust God's promise. How else do we really know that we trust God unless the trust is tested from time to time? Do we really trust God in His silence? It's hard, right? Especially you feel that He's too far. It's really hard to trust God. But the Bible says we need to wait, we need to trust. When God seems silent, don't get ahead of Him. When God not answering your prayer until now, don't get ahead of Him. What did Sarah did? Oh, she said that she gave me a baby. But until now, it's been 10 years, more than 10 years that I'm waiting. Maybe I'm gonna do something. When God seems silent, don't get ahead of Him. When we go against God's timing and get ahead of Him, as Sarah did, we can almost bet that the result will be disastrous. Getting ahead of God can be disastrous. Sarah did her way in her time, and she ended up creating a conflict that still exists to this day between the Arab and the Jews. And she had a surrogate plan to replace God's plan, and it fell apart. When we take action or make decision but neglect the power of God, we are actually revealing our lack of faith. Faith that can move mountains. Abraham was 75 years old when he moved to Canaan, and God promised him a great nation. According to Genesis 17, Sarai was 10 years younger than Abraham. And we know that God never abandoned them. For that waiting time, God never abandoned them. Here's the question for all of us, or all of you who are listening to this time span. How old Sarah when she decided she will never have a child of her own? Sarah was 75 years old when she decided that she will never have a child of her own. In God's promise of a great nation through Abraham and Sarah, and after years of waiting, Sarah gave up on God and decided to take action with her own wisdom. And waiting 10 years is a long time. Can we blame Sarah for giving up on God? No, we cannot blame him. Oh, we cannot blame her. Because it's been a long time of waiting. But the problem, did God abandon them? Never. Sarah and Abraham had many affirmations that God would complete his promise. She neglected God's power to be able to accomplish what seems to be the impossible. Sarah lacked faith in God when she gave in to her own wisdom. And Sarah actually blamed God for her infertility. She was aggressive, but neglected the power of God. What about Abraham? Abraham should have ever known better. God spoke directly to Abraham. But what did Abraham to do with Sarah's worldly idea? And Sarah was aggressive, and Abraham was passive. In both of them, the problem of neglecting the word's power, the God's power. And what resulted from their lack of faith? Lack of resulted, it must be trouble. Hagar created trouble for Sarai by despising her. In other words, Hagar belittled her master, and Sarai was deeply hurt. Then the marriage of Abraham and Sarai was strained. Sarai blamed her husband, and Abraham couldn't handle the problem and give it back to his wife. And Sarah actually beat up Hagar, who served her diligently for 10 years. And here's pregnant Hagar runs away with nothing to the desert. And what Mesa sounds like is a soap opera. Because of that wrong decision, because Sarah walked ahead of time. Did God cause all the problems? Absolutely not. Sarah, Abraham, and Hagar brought troubles to themselves with their lack of faith. God reminded Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18, verse 14. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. God never gave up on Abraham and Sarah. God blessed them. Someone said that spiritual ends are never achieved through carnal means. Sometimes the best way to determine God's will for our life is to do nothing, but to simply wait and allow things to play out. That's often hard to do, but is the wisest things to do. Consider this verse in Psalms. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I wait for you, O Lord, you will answer. O Lord, my God, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In his word I put my hope. So, brothers and sisters, don't walk ahead of God. You just wait upon God. Third, when God is silent, don't try to understand him. You never understand God. Sarah means mistake is that she assumed that she understood God. She even said, the Lord has prevented me from having children. She mistook God's silence as meaning she wasn't having a child. She was wrong in her understanding. The tendency to want to know about everything that is going can be a detrimental. Sometimes knowing everything can be uncomfortable. Sometimes it hurts you. I spend a large part of my life being impatient, frustrated, and disappointed. Why? Because there were things I don't know and I wanted to understand. But finally, I learned to trust the one who knows all things and accept that some question may never be answered. Because in Deuteronomy 29-28 says, "The secret things belong to Adonai our God, but things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, in order to do all the words of this Torah." We prove that we trust God when we refuse to worry. God wants us to live by discernment, revelation, and knowledge. It's not head knowledge. It's difficult to exercise discernment if you're always trying to figure everything out by yourself. But when we are willing to say, "God, I cannot figure this out, so I'm going to trust you to give me a revelation that will set me free," then you can be comfortable in spite of not knowing. There's a lot of things that we don't understand what's going on in our lives. There's a lot of things that God, we don't really understand why these things happen, why God allowed these things to happen. Like this pandemic, we don't know why. We don't need to understand. We just put our trust to our Yeshua. And I believe she can do something. And Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than ways." In other words, don't try to understand my ways. They are beyond your comprehension. And you know, we may never truly understand God's for us completely. It may be that we don't understand God's plan until we are in heaven. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned and tortured, hated and rejected, but somehow he was able to write, "In all things works together for good to those who love him." Paul just trusted that God was working things for good. God has planned for each of us. He loves us. The question is, do you love God? Do you trust him? Do you surrender your life unto him? God's promises are true, and we can be assured that God will do his part. But the timing is always in the hand of God. The answer may come immediately or slowly, or it may not be completed for years. Why would God delay answering his children's requests? Once the limitation of lack of faith, sin, and unforgiveness are removed, we have little to indicate why we have not received, unless the Spirit tells us. Because in 37 verse 7 of Psalms, God wants us to wait patiently. If God isn't answering your prayers, it does not mean you're not right on his side. Is it because you're not ready? Or it is because God has something much better planned for you? So don't put Yeshua in the box. Because sometimes we want Yeshua to follow us. No, it doesn't go that way. We are the one who follow Yeshua, not him who follow us. That's why there's a song, "Trust and Obey, for there is no other way." Right? God gives us hope and dreams for certain things to happen in our lives. But God doesn't allow us to see the exact timing of his plan. Although frustrating, because we don't know the exact time when He answered our prayers, but put our trust unto Him. God causes things to happen at exactly the right time. Our job is not to figure it out when, but to make up our mind that we won't give up until we cross the finish line and are living in a radical, outrageous blessing of God. The more we trust our God, the more we become closer to Him. Adonai, and keep our eyes focused on Him, the more life we'll have time. Trusting God brings life. Believing brings rest. So stop trying to figure everything out and let God be God in your life. After Sarah and Abraham received the blessing, their life totally changed. That's why they call them mother of faith, man of faith, because they never give up. They're not perfect like us, but the good thing is that they never give up to Yeshua. Sarah is not just human like us, not perfect, but the lesson that we learn from her is a big encouragement, enlightenment to everyone. In time that we think that God is silent, do not expect to be difficult. Nothing is too hard for God. He is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God. Don't be afraid to believe God's will. God is able. His grace is sufficient. Put our trust on Him. Nothing is too hard for God. Don't get ahead of God's plan or timing. Don't hurry. He will accomplish His will. When? In His will, in His way, in His perfect time. Because God, when we overhead God, our life might be disastrous. Don't try to understand Him when He is silent. Remember, God will keep His promise at exactly at the right time. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the life of Sarah, O God, that He gave us encouragement and He enlightened us, Lord, that in everything we do, God, we need to seek You first. We need to wait for You, Lord. We need to understand, Lord, that You are the God whom we are serving, Lord, is a living God. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning. In Yeshua's name, I all these things. Amen.